We're going to continue, not my pity party, but the sermon series on fruition, which we're looking at what does it mean for us as Christians to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and what does that look like for us? And this is based off of Galatians chapter 5, and I'm just going to read through this verse again this morning. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and against these things there is no such law." And so this morning we're going to be focusing on the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. And joy is something that we all want joy. Who doesn't want joy? Who doesn't want to experience that happiness, that contentment, that excitement, that energy, that life that comes with joy? And so one of the fruits of the Spirit is this sort of exuberant joy in and through the work of Christ. And when I think about joy, I think about something in particular. There's always like all these different songs in my subconscious that sort of creep up when I read certain verses or hear certain phrases, and joy is one of those. When I was younger, I did the VBS circuit. I would go to different churches, and I don't know if it was like free childcare or what it was, but I'd visit other churches and with friends, and there was one song that they always sang that I've never ever been able to shake. And I'm actually going to help you all have joy this morning by not singing this song. Stop it. You guys have too much energy this morning. I'm going to actually play the song for you. When we were doing shutdown, we used a lot of these videos on our stream for Bethany Kids, and I'm just going to play this little clip, and I'm sure you'll recognize this song.
Joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Okay.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to say. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
I'm so happy, so very happy. It's like, I don't know. It's like this opiate-driven happiness with that emoji and the flashing lights. There's a sense in our faithfulness and our following of Christ, we should have that joy, 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 joy down in our hearts. Where? Down in our hearts. And people sort of come to expect some sense of this. And I've heard people say this. People have said this to me at times. Like, if they come up to you and you say, "How are you doing?" "I'm okay." "Well, you got to have that joy in Jesus. Jesus loves you." And they sort of impress upon you this sense, this need, this intent for you to be just happy and joyful all the time. And it sounds good. The sentiment is good. I mean, if you have faith in Christ, why not be joyous all the time, right? As I've gotten older, I mean, that song is easy to sing when you're young and your parents pay your bills for you. And you just haven't quite experienced as many things. As you grow up, you understand that life isn't quite so simple, right? It's not something that you can easily always access, that sort of unadulterated, pure joy. It doesn't always express itself. Because life is complicated. We do experience trials and hardships and difficulty and loss. And we experience these things. And these are very real things, even as followers of Christ who have faith. We aren't always just so very happy. So very happy, even though we've got the joy of Jesus in our heart. And so what does it mean for us then as followers of Christ to have the fruit of the Spirit of joy? Does it mean if you're not always expressing joy and happiness and always upbeat and happy that you do not have the Holy Spirit and that you're not faithful to the one who's called you? That's absolutely not. It speaks to something much deeper and much more complex. You can see this talked about and framed out a little bit more in Scripture. For example, in James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." What James is actually saying is that you should have joy in trials. what the heck? I mean, can you imagine, like, going to a funeral, and when you go and hug the person, you say, I'm sorry for your loss, but you've got that joy, 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 joy down in your heart, don't you? Or if you go to the hospital and someone's in pain, and they just come through a surgery, and they're just like, oh, you know, pray for me, I'm hurting. I will pray for you, and boy, I hope you have that joy. It looks like that joy, the spirit of joy should be in your heart, like, perk up. Like, it'd just be very jarring and come off as unsympathetic. And James isn't really talking about celebrating trials. It's about what trials do for us ultimately in terms of how they form us and shape us. You know, we grow through failure. We just do. And that's how we work. We get things wrong. We learn. We grow. We experience something difficult and trying, and we go through it, we push through, and we get on the other side of it, and we've grown. And in these experiences of life, these little bumps along the way, which are totally devastating at times, gut-wrenching, unnerving, depressing, whatever it is, it's real. But on the other side of it, as we journey through it in faith, and trusting the faithfulness of God, we experience a profound and deep joy because of what God is accomplishing, even though things are hard, even in the midst of pain and suffering. Now, Jesus talks a little bit about this kind of joy as well in the Gospel of John in chapter 16. I'm going to read it here for you in a second, but Jesus is about to be tried and captured and hung up on the cross for everyone to see. And Jesus tells him that he's going to go away for a little while, but he's going to come back. And this is very confusing and unnerving to them because they've been following this guy who's had a lot of energy, performed all these miracles, done all these amazing things. And now, you know, there's this sort of foreboding sense that something joyous is not going to happen here, that something bad is about to happen. And they have to be thinking to themselves, am I following the right guy? Is he who he says he is? Am I going to regret going where Jesus has called me to go? Have I hung my hat in the right place? And Jesus speaks to them. He says, Jesus knew what they wanted to ask him. And so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you. Jesus is saying that even though they're about to experience sorrow, and even in that sorrow, the world that's against them may start to rejoice. At the end of it all, you too will have complete joy, profound joy, even in the midst of this. And he draws an example of childbirth. Now, again, honestly, I can't speak from firsthand experience what this is like, but I've gotten to witness it. With our first child, it was like 46, 47 hours of labor. It was a long time. And there was candles and oils and all this stuff. And it was a sorrowful experience. But then after the child comes, after there's moments of recovery, it's like there's just this moment where you're just full of joy because there is new life. And there's a bit of amnesia maybe for some moms, and they start thinking, let's do this again. But you see, you don't really experience that profound joy until you've gone through the pain. And that's how a lot of life works, is you can't understand the light until you've touched the darkness. You can't appreciate the good until you've experienced the bad. And so joy is sort of a complex experiential emotion. The closest firsthand experience of this that I can think of, just trying to draw some parallels a little bit about where some things that aren't great can sometimes bring joy. I think about growing up in Amarillo, Texas in the Panhandle. It doesn't, rain is really rare up there. It's much more rare than it is here in Austin. And so there'd be long stretches of time where it just wouldn't rain. And, you'd hear forecasters on the news talking about praying for rain. You'd see all the signs at every church, no matter what denomination, saying pray for rain, because it's like the livelihood of so much of the agriculture and things up there for those people. And I just remember being my, emo middle school self, pulling out my cassette tape of Phil Collins. I don't even know if I can say emo and Phil Collins in the same sentence, but and playing Ooh, How I Wish It Would Rain Down, and just like praying, lamenting that it wasn't raining. And then sometimes the storms would come, but a lot of times in the Panhandle, it's not just storms, it's like storms, hail and wind and even tornadoes, and sometimes they could be destructive, and yet you were thankful because there was rain. And so sometimes the good comes with the bad, and the bad comes with the good. It's like, I know I'm behind on things, but my wife and I are finally catching up and finishing up the TV series This Is Us. Have any of you seen it and finished it all the way? Maybe some of you. We watched one of the episodes last night. We're almost done, so don't ruin it for us. And we're just bawling. We're just, crying on the couch. And my wife literally says to me, "Why do you make me watch such depressing things on TV?" And I have the opposite reaction. I'm like, wow, it's so joyful. It's like affirming. And the looks I get from her, yeah. But there is so much joy when we go through some of those painful things. There really is. But we only understand it and know it when we get to the other side. There's a kids movie that came out that sort of explains as well. Have any of you seen the movie Inside Out? This is a movie of Pixar. So there's two characters in this movie. It's actually the inside of a little girl's brain, and she has a different character for each emotion. And there's an emotion, joy, who wants there to always be happiness and joy, and she spends a lot of her energy and time trying to get rid of the blue character, which is sadness. She wants to banish all the sad thoughts, and it creates a lot of issues for this girl. And kind of the point of the movie is that you don't fully get to experience joy unless you do have those moments of sadness. And when you reflect on those moments of sadness in your life, like in retrospect, and you see where you are now because you went through them, it's affirming. And it brings you a sense of peace and joy, a joy that cannot be taken away from you because it's yours and no one else's. And this is how Scripture talks about it as well. It's a joy that's given to us in the midst of the pain of Christ's death on the cross. It's a promise that is yet to be fulfilled, but a promise that is ours nonetheless. That even as we experience loss and pain and suffering and hurt in this world, there is still a sense that we will have everything, and even now have everything we need. There's this author by the name of Henry Nouwen. He's a Catholic guy, and he wrote a book called Out of Solitude. And I just want to read a quote, because I think this really sort of summarizes the point of this really, really well. It says, "In every satisfaction, there is an awareness of its limitations. In every success, there is a fear of jealousy. And behind every smile, there is a tear. In every embrace, there is loneliness. In every friendship, distance. And in all forms of light, there is the knowledge of the surrounding darkness. When you touch the hand of a returning friend, you already know that he will have to leave you again. When you are moved by the quiet of the vastness of the sun-covered ocean, you miss the friend who cannot see the same. Joy and sadness are born at the same time, both arising from such deep places in your heart that you can't find words to capture your complex emotions. But this intimate experience in which every bit of life is touched by a bit of death can point us beyond the limits of our existence. It can do so by making us look forward in expectation to the day when our hearts will be filled with perfect joy, a joy that no one shall take away from us. So whatever it is we experience, whatever pain we endure, whatever loss we take on, whatever disruptance that we have to go through, and we do, all of us do, we experience these things. In the midst of all of that, we touch death, we touch darkness, but it helps us understand life and light and joy. And it's a joy that is deep down, down, down in my heart. And it's a joy that is here to stay. In Jesus' name, amen.